This afternoon, you're listening to the Todd the Borowid Show, Real Estate Radio and Sound Broadcast Network, AM 1260, The Answer. I'm your host, Todd the Borowid, and this segment is brought to you by Clothesline Settlements, our preferred partner for all your closing needs. Well, you're in for a special treat today because on the phone with us now is Ramin Bassoum. He is the founder and president of Persh Development. And welcome to the Todd the Borowid Show, Real Estate Radio.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
And you're over on the other side of the country right now in L.A.
That's right, downtown L.A.
And what are you working on out there?
We are looking for projects. We have a few things that you're trying to nail down and lock down, but not there yet.
Okay.
The big market.
Very nice. Well, let's go back to when you first started. It's interesting. You said you started with your first townhouse and you built it yourself. Tell me a little bit more about that for our listeners.
That's correct. I bought 1200 G Street in Southeast across Potomac Gardens, middle of 2006, and kind of organically began to build it. I had about $10,000 cash when I bought the place, and it's funny because you're always short on capital. I misbudgeted the entire project substantially, and I realized that a lot of this work has to get done by very cheap labor, and there was no one cheaper than me.
Nice.
So I pretty much drywalled the entire building, the tiles on the floor, the tiles in the basement. In fact, my dad came down one day, and him and I were tiling the entire basement of that building. So it was a fun job. It was a learning curve, and it was a good experience.
Did you have any prior experiences? Were you familiar with the building products?
Not at all. In fact, I worked in the concrete industry as a concrete, initially a concrete laborer for a concrete company that owned by my father. It was a large company of five people, and I was one of them. And so my experience was really in concrete. And I remember vividly, I called a friend of mine asking him, what is this thing called a granite? What does it do? So it was truly an experience and a learning curve.
Wonderful. And what type of challenges do you think you faced?
I think it was just the lack of knowledge. It was the lack of knowing contractors, subcontractors. I remember getting up really early and towards the day at Home Depot in D.C. at about 6 a.m. And I was walking up and down the aisles looking for a plumber or an HVAC guy. In fact, I found my plumber, my HVAC, and my electrician at Home Depot's D.C., looking for guys who had a business card. And I go, hey, are you an electrician? Do you have a card? Can you give me a proposal? And that's how we began. So I started working by myself, with the exception of a window installation. I ended up getting a laborer and did it together.
Wow. So you just had a strong drive to not give up.
Well, it was either that or go back pouring concrete for $2,000 a month. So I didn't have very good options.
Okay. So what name some people that you look up to that kind of instilled that in you. Like, I'm sure something had to give you that drive.
I mean, if I can think of someone, it's got to be my father first. I watched my father build a business with a limited language skills. He came here when he was 40 years old with three kids.
Wow.
And I watched him work literally, I'm not exaggerating, 7 days a week. And the only vacation in 15 years that I worked with my father, I remember, was one day we all went to Ocean City and slept in a van because that's all we could afford. So it was a very humble beginning. And I don't remember the guy ever taking a break, even on a Sunday. It's not healthy, but that work ethic I've just never seen anywhere else.
Right. He wanted to provide for his family.
And he did. He did a phenomenal job.
Wonderful. And is anyone else?
At the other end of the scale, I think I really love this guy, Don Peebles. He's never met the guy, but he's been an inspiration. I mean, here's a guy who's a high school, dropped high school. He's basically finished high school, barely went to college for a semester or a year, and has single-handedly built a huge corporation, great projects, worth almost $700 million. And you got to look up to someone like that. And ironically, he started his business in Washington, D.C.
Wow. And you never met him?
Never met him, but I like self-made guys. I like guys that, go against odds and do well and stick through it. And he's been an inspiration.
And now you're an inspiration for others now.
Oh, well. as long as you're complete with yourself, you're doing well.
Perfect. And to tell me, let's go into the more of the projects as it grew. What was it like for you, and like what projects have you done since the townhouse?
You know, it kind of grew organically. We did the townhouse, became two units, was the first deal we did. Then I did two more townhouses after that. And then I began to pour my money into a 13-unit apartment building that I converted into a condo conversion. This is back in 07, 08, right before the bubble burst. And we were doing really cool boutique projects and just continuing putting all of our money and our profits into the next deal. And that's how we kind of grew organically. Did all of our GCs in-house. 13-unit became 15-unit, became 21-unit, became 31-units, and kind of evolved into where it is today.
Wow. And it just got bigger and bigger.
It got bigger and bigger. The learning curve was always, you're always learning. Every deal was different. Every deal was bigger than the last one, so you were stretching every time. And like I said, it's fun because we really love what we do, and I think that comes across in our projects.
Wonderful. Well, by the way, if you're just tuning in, I have with me on the phone Ramin Basson. He's the founder and president of PERS Development. I'm your host, Todd the Borward, and you're listening to Sound Broadcast Network, AM 1260, The Answer. Now, Ramin, you specialize in neighborhoods that are up and coming, correct?
That's correct.
And is that intentional, or is that part, like, tell me a little bit more about that.
You know, it's a little bit of intentional and necessity. When you are starting out, you go to neighborhoods, where you can afford. If you're a young man and you have $20,000 or $10,000 cash on you, that's all you can afford. You got to go to an area where it's in transition, and you buy in the cheap, and hopefully by the time you're done finishing the project, the market's caught up with you and you do well. So initially, it was what you can afford with that concept nailed down. And as we begin to grow and do bigger projects, we realize that, you know, we really like transformational projects. We like neighborhoods that are in transition, where you can buy a building way before the market catches on. It becomes kind of a gamesmanship. You got to buy it before the market hits it, and hopefully by the time you're done with the project, the market's caught on, and that's where you make the most amount of money. But more importantly, you make the most amount of impact on the neighborhood.
So it's timing and looking to make an impact on the neighborhood.
You know, timing, you have only so much control as a developer, but it's the end game. You got to visualize, it's kind of like an art. You got to visualize the final product a year or two down the line when you're done with the project.
Wow. How many projects have you completed? Not the size, but just total projects, would you say?
About seven projects.
Okay.
Total.
Wow.
Not many in 6 years or in 7 years.
But you've come a long way.
Every year, consistently, though.
Okay. And where in D.C. do you think is going to become hot in the next 3 to 5 years?
Boy, D.C. is just hot all over right now, and that's such a long term in real estate. But if I had to make a bet, I think Petworth, I think definitely NoMa. I think NoMa is the next downtown in D.C. It's the next hot spot. Everybody likes H Street, and, you know, there's a lot of money going to H Street. There are also a lot of negative elements at H Street that kind of work out. But eventually, I think those three pockets, you know, Columbia Heights, H Street, especially NoMa, will do really well.
Okay.
And become, you know, a city of its own.
Well, for our listeners, NoMa is north of Massachusetts, but they got the name NoMa. And what do you see for your company going forward in the next 5 years? Like, what projects are you looking to take on?
So we are looking to do more income generating projects now, and more towards a larger side. We are right now in the planning stage, about 170 units in NoMa on one building or one project. And that's where I think we're gearing towards and shifting our efforts on. We're also looking at the West Coast for opportunities. I think there's a lot of opportunities in downtown LA. It's a very sprawled neighborhood, and it's dying for an urban developer. So we're really seriously looking at downtown Los Angeles and some of the suburban areas in downtown for infill projects. But they're mainly going to be geared towards mid to larger deals, you know, the 50 to 120 unit deals, and mainly apartments, not too many condos anymore.
Okay. And are you going to be doing multi deals at a time, or just to get one at a time?
We are. We're actually going to start a project later on this year in D.C. We are looking to pick up one or two more projects in Los Angeles, and kind of grow that route. So we're looking to now wrap things up and do two deals, maybe three at the same time. Ideally, that's what we
like. Okay. And as far as like a tipping point, everyone's got their tipping point. Where would you say your tipping point was?
It would have to be in the men's condos, which was we did in 2012-13. It was a 31 unit deal. We actually went down to 21 units with retail, but it was such a transformational deal, both in terms of what we accomplished. The whole neighborhood changed for that one deal. It was a corner lot in three corners. It just became really a great presence. Only it was a very lucrative deal. It was probably one of our most lucrative deals, even more so than Fahrenheit, which we just sold, you know, last month.
Congratulations.
And so that began to kind of change our ball game and make us realize, you know, we can do bigger deals, we can do better deals, and execute them better.
Perfect. Now, congratulations on selling Fahrenheit, but can you tell us a little bit more about Fahrenheit?
Fahrenheit was a 31-unit building with ground floor retail with three parking spaces. Initially, we were going to do condos there, and we had about 600 people who had expressed interest, over 600 people. And we thought, if the market is this crazy and you're having a hard time buying products in D.C., well, let's just put the whole thing up for sale and see if it makes sense to do over the whole building. Got a number of buyers, chose the best one for the best terms, a very reliable family or coalition development, and ended up selling the project for 14.3. It was the highest grossing unit in the area in Petworth for multifamily, in addition to, I believe in district actually, it was $466,000 a door when it was all said and done. Wow. And it was by far the highest, money per unit in both Petworth and Columbia Heights by far.
Now, Ramin, what do you think drew the prices up?
Honestly, it was a combination. We had a number of agents and brokers who called us and developers and that, you know, medium-sized, asking what was the secret to the sale, to this high number. And truly, it was a combination of the right buyer, the right market, the right time. That worked for everybody, both the buyer, the seller. And I think there's really no magic. It was just the right timing. And that's what we're telling everybody else.
Wow. So you got the magic dust.
It was a magic luck. But it worked out really well. I'm really happy.
And before we go, what do you love about D.C.?
What I love about D.C. are guys like you. There's a community of developers that are really in sync with one another. Everybody knows everybody. There's the Washington Business Journal, BizNow, your radio station. It's a vibrant real estate development that I haven't found anywhere else to be.
Perfect. Thank you so much for being here. And coming up next, we have Bill Calamaris. He's a real estate agent with Long & Foster.